I'd like to share with you basically it's a shmuz from Chaim Friedlander Zatzal and Sif Sechaim. It's both found in his Sefer Bereishis, they fell from him in Bereishis, Parshas Vayera. It's also a piece in Sif Sechaim in Midos. He talks about Midos Emes. He says, come out the exact same shmuz. There's Gemara in Makkos, the end of Masechtas Makkos, where it says there's Tayrag Mitzvahs. And David Melech comes and he reduces the Tayrag Mitzvahs down to 11. And then the more continues that Kemishaya, Midin El Shesh, etc. So one of the 11, it's a Pitul Tilim, Pitul Tesvav, that it says that who's the person who's going to be able to, Miyalab Harashem and Miyakum Bimkaim Kutshay, who can access the Har Hashem and who can stand there, which means it's very nice that you get it up there, but how do you stay? How does a person stay up there? Mi Alav Hashem, Mi Yakumim Kaim Kodshay. So it goes through a list of these 11 things that Rogal Lashonai, Lashon the Rei Ora, etc. So one of them is the Remes Bavavay. So the Mor says, what's the Remes Bavavay? The Mor says that there was a story with Reb Safra. The Mor gives an example with Reb Safra. That one time Reb Safra was selling an item, and he was reading Kriya Shema, and somebody came to offer a price to Reb Safra while Reb Safra was reading Shema. I never understood the Metzias of the case exactly. You didn't notice he was like saying Shema. I never understood the Metzias. This person so presents the price, and Reb Safra thinks, okay, I would sell for that price. Meanwhile, the person doesn't respond to the person. He's just saying Shema. So the person takes it that Reb Safra wants to get a better price. So he offers him a higher price, and of course that doesn't work either because Reb Safra is still saying Shema. And this Gemara says it goes up to quite a nice price. At the end he says, you know, that as soon as you said that price, I had in my mind that I was willing to sell you for the lower price. I'm going to sell it to you for the lower price. And of course that's called Dover Emes Bilvova. Ibn Ezra on that Pasuk in Tillim adds a connection, says, who call her Adam? That is the whole person. That what makes a human a person into an Adam, makes a person into a Gavra, makes a person into something, is the fact that he's honest with himself. The Remes Bavava means the person has ideas, person has attitudes, person has knowledge, and he's honest with himself, that he's true to himself. Better way, he's true to himself. That most of us, or many of us, have knowledge. We have tremendous knowledge. We're very aware of many things. A person goes to Yom Neroyim, becomes aware of what's right, what's wrong, etc. But we don't live like that. Our awareness and our knowledge is not Makriach our Maisa. And Ibn Ezra says that what David HaMelech is saying, that Mi'ala Bahar Hashem, U'miyakum Bimkayim Kodshah, you want to be able to stay in Bimkayim Kodshah, you want to make it stay there, you have to learn how to be true to your knowledge, true to the reality of the knowledge that you have. So whereas the story itself was written Klapi Chutz, that Reb Safra was honest with this gentleman who's coming to purchase from him. So it was basically perceived as a Menodom Lechavera type of anhaga. What the Ibn Ezra is adding is that, and you could possibly understand the Ibn Ezra is saying, well, and this Menodom Lechavera anhaga is so significant that you're honest in your dealings the way you think that it's called. It's not Mistabra that, you know, yes, we have to be honest in our dealings, but you know, the fact that I decided I want to sell something for a certain price and the fellow's willing to give more, like I didn't ba'avil him, I didn't fool him in any way, I didn't do anything wrong vis-a-vis him. Right? Person leaves a phone message and he doesn't get through, he leaves a second phone message, he says, you know what, I'm willing to pay you $10, please call me back, you know. And I was very busy. He thinks, you know, I don't know, and I can't get $10. What does one do the other? But what Pasha, what Ibn Ezra is saying is that the ability to, if a person finds a way to, my decisions, my actions, should be the same. I'm not being false to myself, and it's very uncomfortable. like we have knowledge and we find it very difficult to live with it. And that leaves us with guilt feelings, leaves us with frustration, leaves us with depression. Right? Most people that come to that they're unhappy, they're depressed. What's the problem? They haven't found a way to live with what they know. They can't live with it. So that pulls them apart. They have this frustration, pulls them in different directions. Right? Ignorance is bliss is the second half of the thought process, right? If I don't know, I don't know. I'm happy. Now that you told me, like now I'm stuck. I don't want to change. I'm not ready to change. I find it hard to change. I like where I was, but I can't just go back and put my head in the sand. I think I mentioned to you that I had a story of a fellow came to me. I was in a seed program in Dayton, Ohio. A fellow came in that he had attended a Discovery Weekend, the Eshet Torah Discovery Weekend, which one of the presentations over there is the whole presentation about the divinity of the Torah, based on the codes, different things, etc. And he had seen the divinity of the Torah. If it's true, he's got to do it. He really does not want to change his lifestyle. So he decided to read as much as he can about the Bible criticisms that proves that the Torah is not divine. And he wants to hear what I have to say about it. So the Rav who's running set up the program asked me, am I willing to sit and meet with the guy, hear his Bible criticism? I imagine you're aware that there's a whole genre of work out there, this pseudo scholarship created about started at the end of the 1800s in Germany called Bible criticism, where they feel that the Torah is not divine. It's written by different authors, it's combinations, and they have different styles. And one style likes to write like this way, and the whole the Torah in their mind is a hodgepodge of, you read the book and it's a little bit, it's like almost like formulas. It's a little bit of T together with some E, this paragraph is T plus E times 3, this is what they write, T meaning where they use the Shem Havaya, which is in English is called the Tetragrammaton, and E is the Shem Elokim, and one author liked to write with T's, one author liked to write with E's, and that's what they do. It's a crazy word. Okay. But this fellow's got this thing about the Torah is two different authors, etc. So the fellow comes in, and he would like to present the question to me. So the first question he presents to me is that it's clearly two authors, because at the beginning, Parshas Noach, it talks about the idea of taking two, and this is talking about taking seven. Two authors, right? One author had the story of two, another had the story of seven. I said, it's a great question. You know what? I have to tell you that this commentary asked the question. He says, really? Someone asked the question before this rabbi. It was written by a rabbi, of course, a reformed rabbi, proving the Torah is not divine, because it's much better for them if the Torah isn't divine. So I said, yeah. So he says, which? So there's a rabbi named Rashi who asked this question. So I says, you think you knew who heard of this commentary called Rashi? He says, I think most people heard of the commentary called Rashi. So it bothered him very much, because this guy was an honest fellow. If it's true, I got to do it. I don't want to do it. But if it's true, I got to do it. So I want to do what's true. So, okay, I'm willing to make the effort, to prove it wrong, so I don't have to do it. But if at the end of the day, I'm proving it, I'm stuck. But people who are dishonest, you write a book about scholarship, ignoring the fact that somebody asked the question before and gave an answer. That's not scholarship. That's not true scholarship. So that was the first question. The second question was a steer between a pasuk and in the story of David and Goliath, the way it's presented in Devar Yamim, the way it's presented in Shmuel. So I said, it's a great question. The Radak actually asks the question and gives an answer. And he showed him the Radak inside, showed him the answer. So he said, after a few times doing like this, he said, you know what? I don't like the book anymore. Now, he still was stuck with his problem. His problem was he didn't want to become frum, but his problem was he thought the Torah was true. But he couldn't live with that. He couldn't live with... He told me, one of his friends said, listen, you don't do it, don't do it. Like, what's the problem? It's true, but don't do it. The guy said, that's not, that. He told me, he looked at the guy like he's weird. What do you mean, if it's true, don't do it? If it's true, you got to do it. I don't understand the option. This is a fry guy talking to me, but you hear the strength of the person. You respect him, that he understood, if it's true, I got to do it. And he couldn't live with himself. It's not. He was a person who had the kelim to make tremendous change in his life and to maintain it. he could stay there because he had taught himself, if I know something is true, I got to do it. I got to stick with it. I would like to tell you the story that the guy was like blown away and he went out to the captured his house and started keeping Shabbos, you know, quit his job, etc. I would like to tell you that's not true. He kept looking for another proofs maybe that it's not true. Like he just, you know, really didn't want to change. But he couldn't sleep at night. You know, he wasn't like, okay, whatever. You know. Now, we grapple with this and we say, okay, listen, you know, I believe in Gan Eden. I have no Shiloh, there's Gan Eden. I believe in Gehenna. And the Shalos Gehenna. I know Lashon Hara sent you to Gehenna, not the Gan Eden. And I still speak Lashon Hara. And I sleep at night. How do I do that? I mean, how do I do that? I believe that that there's Talmud Torah, Kanei Kulam, the greatest mitzvah in the whole Torah is Talmud Torah. I believe in that. And Chabad Chaim makes a cheshbon that, you know, that a person speaks on the average of 3 words per second. So in 1 minute of learning, a person can acquire between 180 and 200 mitzvahs of Talmud Torah, which each one is equal to all the Tayag mitzvahs. I have no doubt. I know that's true. I have no doubts about that. So you should theoretically see me learning like every single moment which is possible because like how, I mean, you don't throw out diamonds. But I don't live like that. And I sleep at night. That's the worst part about it. So I'm missing this meaning of Deborah Amos Bovova. That I have found a way to be true to my knowledge. And I can't be untrue to my knowledge. Okay, so now here's the problem. The problem, of course, is so Baruch Hashem, we went through the Yom and the Royim. And first goes through the Yom and the Royim. And I would call it a problem. Like, here's the challenge, right? So we go through the Yom and the Royim. And Baruch Hashem, we do tshuva. And the Baruch Hashem makes the tshuva process easier. And we come to really to recognize things, what's really important, what's not important, etc. Okay. But that's not easy to maintain. It's not really, it'd be very hard to say we should all go and maintain the level of intensity of Yom Kippur the whole year. We find that difficult. You know, Yom Kippur with the total focus on what is Hashem, you know, nothing else, and you know, Hashem Hulakim, and davening with intensity. You know, we you know put in you know an hour Shemot Esrei and Yom Kippur four times in a row. And I don't know my weekly Shemot Esrei. I'm not putting an hour Shemot Esrei. I'm not focusing on every single word, and I'm using Rabbi Birnbaum Siddur because I make sure I understand every word. You know, my average Tuesday Shemot Esrei doesn't look like that. And my Moner Shach, if you know it's true, what are you doing? I mean, we have a theory, but we find that difficult. We find the motivation difficult, etc. So, the Rabbeinu Tam wrote a sefer called Sefer HaYosher. It's together with his Sefer HaYosher, which is the tshuvas part of it, the halachic tshuvas. They also wrote a sefer called Sefer HaYosher, which they say for also middle time. It's a Musar sefer, and in that sefer, Revolva quotes this in Ali Shur Chelik Aleph. He has a pair called Yemei Asinan Yemei Ava, which means the ups and downs of life, basically. He refers to the Yemei Asin and Yemei Ahava. So there's ups and there's downs. Person has the period of where he's in an expansive mode and he just feels like he can handle everything and his learning is going well and his davening is going well and his Beit Olam HaChaverah is going well and he's, you know, happy with, he feels like a happy person. And then there's moments where you feel like, what he calls it, that's the Yemei Asin, the Yemei Ahava. It's like, you know, he's loving it, he's really happy. And then there's Yemei Asin. You know, the learning doesn't go, and the davening doesn't go, and the ben on the chavera is difficult. People get on your nerves. You're not so, you know, you're edgy, and there's ups and there's downs. So what do you do? He says. So okay. So the natural inclination many times over there is just like I can't. You fall apart. He says that's really not good, because you've accomplished so much in your Yemei Ha'ava, in the upswing. If you totally let go of it, you lose it, and you're starting from scratch the second time around. Okay. But I can't maintain it with the same intensity. I'm not going to be able to daven with the same intensity in my down as I am in my up. I'm not going to be able to do the same thing in my learning. It's just fine. You have to minimize it. But do not let go of it. You have to find a way to take that, in other words, take that knowledge. I know this is important, but I'm right now it's harder for me. And find a way to hold on to it, maintain it, and not let go of it totally. So, yes, I'm not going to daven Shemoneh Esrei on a Tuesday morning in the middle of Cheshvan, the same way I daven Shemoneh Esrei, Ni'ilav Yom Kippur. That's not realistic. That doesn't mean that I didn't get an awareness during the Eel of the importance of tefillah. So I'm going to try and translate it into what's realistic for me at this point in this stage of life. But a person says, you know what? That's for Yom Kippur. But the rest of the year, whatever. Then I'm not being honest with myself. Because deep down, that's not true. Deep down, the importance of tefillah and what it means to stand in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu is true in Yom Kippur. It's also true on Tuesday morning. So to totally just pretend like it doesn't exist, you know, we close the book and the Musa Sefer, whatever it is, and Rosh Chodesh Elul, you take it off the shelf, you dust it off, you blow away the dust, you sneeze a little bit from the dust, and now, okay, it's time to do, you know. That's not being honest with yourself. Same thing with the learning. So your person has a kufa where the learning is going well, and the chavrusas are going well, and the person feels he's being mechadish, he feels good. By definition, the Rebbeinu Tam says, you're going to have a down afterwards. And it's very frustrating because the up feels very good. You really feel good. You feel geschmack and you're happy. And why can't this last forever? It can't. That is how the Rosh made us. Rosh made us is going to be kufas of highs and lows. The only thing which will change over time, a person can work on, he says that the Rebbeinu Tam says, the more you train yourself to hold on to in the lows, to what you've gotten at the highs, the period of time of the lows will be less. You'll be able to shorten the duration of it, as opposed to being a very long time, which when you bottom out, it lasts longer. If you can find a way to hold on to it, it doesn't last as long. And the intensity of it eventually lessons also. I remember one time I described a certain fellow I was working with in yeshiva back in Tells that was working with him, helping with, etc. His highs and lows look like an EKG. Zip, 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 zip. I was like, you can't deal with the guy. One day the guy is on top of him. Next guy is saying, I think I want to commit suicide. I can't deal with it anymore. It's like, whoa, what just happened? Yesterday I was the happiest guy in the world, Today I'm like, oh, I'm a Russian. I was like, slow down a little bit. You would like it to get to the person, it's a nice parabola. It goes like this, it's nice, a curve, that's what your goal is. The goal isn't this. I have to tell you, this is the sign by EKG of a person who is dead. That's the way, this perfect line, everything's going to be perfect, always no ups and downs, frustration, everything's going to be perfect. I'm sorry. In the kever, shetachzeh, bism kever is nitzeh. There's challenges. We think, wow, we got it, it's done with, not going to have any challenges, we're so here. Person says, so what are you living for? That's what life is about. We conquer territory, and then the nourishment gives us a new challenge. But we can hope for that. We can take off some of the edge, some of the intensity. So that's the void of the person. The void of the person is to, once he's got in a car and he says, it's true. I'm an honest person. I can't ignore that and pretend like it doesn't exist. Because I'm not playing games. Life isn't a game. You can't play games. There's a Barry Island, but Right now I'm in the mood of a cheeseburger. I'm sorry. That's not an option. If you believe there's a Barry Island, there's a Barry Island, cheeseburger isn't an option. So what does a person do when he has a time for a cheeseburger? We'll have to deal with it. We'll discuss it privately. Okay, right? I'm saying, that's not what we're grappling with, Baruch Hashem. But we are grappling with within our avodah, the learning, the davening, the penon the chaveroi, etc. These areas which we grapple with, the person has to find that. The Medr says, there's a pasuk in Shir Shirim Achas Lono Ktano. So the matter says it's referring to Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu was Iches Kol Bayi Olam Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a lashon of Ichui, which is connecting. You have the more talks about Ma'ache. You had it before in the Daf Kuf. Hey, I think it was. It talks about Ichui. Base stitch. You take a garment which is torn and you baste it back together. That's called being ma'acha. So he connected the whole world back to Kadosh Baruch. Manasalat lachasin abiyam shen duber bo. So the pasuk says, so what's going to be with this person, Avraham Avinu, and the day that we're discussing him? What's that day? Nimrod threw Avraham into Ur Kas. Should we save him or not? So im chaimahi, the pasuk says right there, nivna le'tiras kesef. Im delosi notzol le'alocharis. Im chaimahi, that's referring to Avraham. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, imaymen hu devarim kechaima. If he holds on to what he these points, kechaima like a wall. So nidola tiras kesef, we're going to be matzil him natzilenu. But nidola yisrael ba'olam, we're going to build him up in the world. Vim delasi, if he's shaky, like a storm, a tautel. Mice of Cadellus, it opens and shuts, it goes back and forth, you know, he's wavering. So then, Notzer Le Luch Ares. What's that mean? Notzer Le Luch Ares. We'll make a picture on a piece of wood. Matsurazu Enam Iskiyamas El Lashachas. You make a picture on wood rats. Tach Enam Iskiyam El Love El Lashachas. It'll last the Shachas. Then Omer Anichai, Mother Pasuk says, "Right, Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Nifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu." You want to know what I am? Anichai, and va'amid masim tovim kechai. I'm going to do it with a permanence. V'shadai kemigdolos, which means ani osid lahamid kitim v'chaburish l'tzadikim keretzibi b'olam. And I'm going to create generations like that also. How do you know you're going to create generations like that? How do you do such a thing? How do you promise that my generations will be the same? Avraham Avinu is saying that what are you grappling with? If a person has really internalized it, he's truly internalized it to the point where he can't ignore it, he's a chayma. It's going to be done. It's guaranteed. That you can give over to your kids. That's something which, that'll go over to the Yerusha, to the Banim and Ebanim. But if it's a yidia, but we find difficult to live with that yidia, and we have difficulty, etc., means we haven't truly absorbed it. It's not truly the reality which of the person, so that you can't give it over to your children. It'll last the shachas. So luchar is a piece of wood. You draw something on a piece of wood. It lasts. It might last for a few years, but generations, it doesn't. It deteriorates. So the challenge is, you know, it doesn't. It will deteriorate. But Avraham Avinu had that concept, the understood that concept of that the ideas that he had were expressed in a reality to the point where he was honest to his ideas. If this is what it is, I got to do it. Now, I mean, I can't purport to put myself into the mind of Avraham Avinu. Right? We can imagine, but imagine my friend over there in Dayton, Ohio. So, everyone lives in this world, which is everybody doesn't have a desire. Right? Well, the world deserve. And you start playing around with the desires. They weren't very nice to you. There was. You take you to Nimrod and they throw you into a big kiln of fire. You know what? Don't make waves. You know, okay, you have your belief. They have their belief. It's a good American society attitude. Like, you have your beliefs. They have their beliefs. Like, you know, why do you got to make this Gatsa Garachka of breaking all of the idols of your father's house? Your father's store. And playing, you know, and start, like, why? And it's much more convenient. I mean, listen, American society, come on, it's much more convenient. Like, just put your head in the sand and go right through. Like, you know, and well, you say, if you crash, I evade such a terrible thing in the world. They do it with a Zora, I feel so bad. You know, like, you know, so maybe you feel good about yourself that you said to me. Like, he couldn't. Because Aramina was honest with his, this is not true. It's not true. It's not true. I can't live with it. I can't live with the world with something that's not true. Can't live with myself, ignoring the fact that it's not true. His reality of his life was fit his what his awareness was. He says, "Mishum deGazach," that the Sephorna says that by the Akedah, that Avraham is told to go up. So the problem is, what's tachas b'nai? It wasn't instead of a son, right? Avraham Bereshim says to him, I didn't tell you the shechter. So what's tachas b'nai in place of his son? So Purna says, Tamuras mashahoya belibai lizbeach b'nai. He had decided already that he's going to bring his son as a korban. Al derech whatever emes b'vav. And that's the mahalach of the Remes Bovavli. He made a decision. Avraham Avinu makes a decision, he's going to carry it out. And the Rebbe says, no. So what am I supposed to do? So the Rashi brings Chazal says, let me at least make a mum. Give some halakrava of him. No, Rebbe says, I'll pass the mum. So what shall I do? Says, okay, here's an ayah. And you'll put the ayah tachas b'nai. I'll allow you to express that decision, that conviction that you made, that you're ready to give over your son. I'm going to allow you to express that in this form. You can't express it in the full form. You express it in this form instead. But Rav Avinu couldn't walk back down from that mountain and not doing anything. Because that wouldn't have been honest to his decision. He made a decision to do something, he's going to do something. There's some people we know. They make a decision to do something, they make a commitment to do something. You know that it'll happen. So it's not just, again, it's not just a bit on the chaveiroi. That's not the point. The point is, the person has defined himself. He's a true person. Rabbi Hyde says over, when he was growing up in Peoria, there was a fellow who dealt in scrap metal. And everybody in the city knew that fellow dealt in tremendous amounts of deliveries, buying and selling, etc. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of material. This is there was no contracts by him. There was no need for a contract. If he said it, it was as good as gold. Everybody knew. Yid Goy, the whole town knew. If he said it, it happened. So what motivated him? Was it the bet on the chaveroi? I promise somebody. It was because he couldn't live with Sheker. He couldn't live with a sheker inside of himself. I said I'm going to do something. I didn't do it. How can I live with myself? That's not emes. So Ibn Ezra says that derber emes bovavo is zekola odam. That's the definition of a person. It's the type of the person is a person who's honest with his ideas. Again, we spoke about those ups and downs. How do you deal with that? Those dealing with being honest with your ideas when there's a down. Okay, but to ignore it, pretend it doesn't exist. You can't. You can't live with yourself like that. You shouldn't be able to live with yourself like that. And again, that's the difference between the person who makes it to the top, like the Medrash says, he gets to the top, shoachas, it lasts for shoachas. Or the person who you can build on, it lasts, it's Yom Kippur, it lasts. You're coming now, it's Yom Kippur was a month ago. Right. Tonight is Yud Cheshvan. So a month ago, we were standing the night of Yom Kippur, going into the world of Yom Kippur. Mosh Amon. And we walked through Yom Kippur with decisions, things I want to change, things I want to work on, how I want to be better. And we're the bottom of Avraham Avinu. The Nefesh HaChaim says that he shtells in the Mishnah, the Mishnah says that there's a Sarah Duras from Minoach Ad Avraham, Mishnah Elvis Perakei. And so Avraham came and was Kabul Skark and Agakula. And then there's a certain Ishenis Nisnasa Avraham Avinu. So he wants to know why in the Mishnah of Asar Daras Minach Ad Avraham it doesn't say the word Avinu. It says there's Asar Daras Minach Ad Avraham. The next Mishnah says Asar Ishenis Nisnasa Avraham Avinu. So why does it add the word Avinu in the second Mishnah? So the Nefesh HaChaim says that Avraham, when he gets Omer on this 10 Nisyonis, he acted as our Av. And the same way that Av gives a Yerusha over to the children, wherever he withstood, he put in us the spiritual DNA to be able to do that also. He says, that's why you find that there's people who pick up and travel tremendous difficulties. Those days they would travel thousands of miles by foot to go to Eretz Yisrael. Where'd it come from? Lech Lecha. Avraham was Omer in the Nisan of Lech Lecha, and he put into us a tremendous power to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. So according to this, what we're saying, Avraham put in us a tremendous power of a Derva Emes Bovav. but to be honest and true to your convictions, you know, okay, there's a bit of zera. No, there's okay, there's a bit of, it's not true. You have to do something about it. I promise something that I'm going to put my son on the Mizbeach. I can't live without doing something about it. The person says, I'm going to put you in the Kivshan Eish. What are you? Are you a Chaimer or are you a Delis? What are you? I'm a Chaimer. I'm true to my convictions. If I know something is amiss, I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't exist. I'm not going to ignore it and go back to sleep. I can't live like that. Again, the translation of Lamaisa, in your expansive days, it's easier. In your other days, it's harder. But don't let go. Don't pretend like, you know what, it's much easier. I once heard he says, don't rewrite history. You know, I never really thought about that. I wasn't really convinced about that. It wasn't so important. You know, I changed my mind. No, don't change your mind. So I can't live with that. I can't translate Lamaisa yet. But at least don't deny the reality. We came to a hakor of emes and sheker, right and wrong, what's important, what's unimportant. We stood on Yom Kippur a month ago and said, you know, what's really important is this. I am not living like that right now. It's good, so we'll find a way to live like that, but don't pretend it doesn't exist. You know, and we close the door on Yom Kippur, we come back, you know, 11 months later. You can't. We're children of Rav Avinu. Ramina says, you know what, the ani chayma, I am so permanent in my yediyah and in my translation from Isa that I'm going to be able to be promised you they're going to be kitim and kitim, which are going to be yotzei mibanai, which have the ability to do that also. Because I put it into the DNA of Klai so that we don't enjoy this. We can't live like that. We're not comfortable pretending like it doesn't exist. And our challenge is, okay, now that we're not comfortable and we understand it, how do we translate the Lamaisa in the times? It's not as easy to live like Yom Kippur a month after Yom Kippur. Good, so we'll find a way to translate that Lamaisa into what's practical for us at this moment. But to pretend like it doesn't exist, that's not an option. And that is the Yerusha. That is the Yerusha that we have. That we can have our ups and we can have our downs and we can have our challenges and we can have our Yemei Asina and Yemei Ava. But even in the Yemei Asina, we're going to hold on in a limited way to those ideas and that Dover Emes Bavavre, that I know what the Emes is. I'm going to translate the Emes into Lamaisa under the circumstances that I have. I remember one time I was going through, I was actually, I had problems, I was sick. It was difficult for me to get up, to get going in the morning, health-wise, different reasons, etc. So I remember a Rebbe told him, he said to me, you know, right now you're living in a matzav of e-seder. You have no Seder. You know, you sleep late, sleep early, this and that, because I was having health issues. He says, you have to live in your world of e-Seder with Seder also. So, most people say Seder starts at 9:30. If you say Seder starts at 11 o'clock. But you have to find a way, under those circumstances, to make sure that you, because otherwise you can't function without a mascaras of right and wrong and good and bad. Just whatever. We do horrendous with whatever's. And we don't, and we're not happy. We're talking not happy. And it leaves us down in the dumps, which is good. Because we don't like living like that. We don't like living with that. I know what's right and I can't do it. So we'll find a way to make sure that you translate what's right into some way. You can do it some way. Some part of you can do it. But to pretend, and that's why we had, you know, this fellow in Dayton, Ohio, who says, if it's Amos, I got to do it. I don't want to do it. So I'd like to find out it's on Amos. I'm very happy to say it's on Amos. I'm very happy to go back. But I can't ignore it. I can't pretend like it doesn't exist. But that's not an option. That's important that we look now. We came to tremendous ideas by Yom Kippur. Understanding Hakoras about ourselves, about the Rosh Hashanah, about Torah, about mitzvahs. How we translate the Lamaisa today, a month after Yom Kippur.